Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the Cementir Holding preliminary 2021 results and plan update conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Maria Bianconi, Head of M&A and Investor Relations of Cementir Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Cementir Holding preliminary 2021 results highlights and industrial plan update. I'm going to go through quickly through a presentation deck that should be distributed. And then I leave the questions for our Chairman and Chief Executive, Francesco Caltagirone, who's here with me.
Good afternoon.
So moving on to the presentation, starting with slide number three, you can see that 2021 has been for Cementir a record year with a historical record of revenues of 1.36 billion euros, up 11% year on year, due to good performance in all geographies. Volumes were up 4.1% in cement, around 15% in ready mix, and around 8% in aggregates. Also, EBITDA set the historical record of 311 million euros, up around 18% year on year. If we strip out 11 million euro of net one-off positive impact, recurring EBITDA reached 300 million euro, up 14% year on year. Q4 EBITDA was up 12%, and recurring EBITDA was up 6%. EBIT reached 197.8 million euro, up 25.8% from last year. Net financial debt declined by around 82 million euro to 40.4 million, including IFRS 16 impact, around 25 million euro of share buyback, around 22 million euro of dividends distributed, and 4 million euro of small aggregate acquisition in Turkey. I remind you, the chairman here is rated the investment grade with BBB minus rating and stable outlook by Standard & Poor's. Moving on to page number four, a guidance for this year. We expect to exceed 1.5 billion euro of revenues, reach an EBITDA range between 305 and 315 million euro, and reach a net cash position of around 60 million with a capex of 95 million. Clearly, this guidance refers to the like-for-like ongoing and recurring operations, barring any further COVID outbreak. Moving on to the industrial plan updates for the year 22-24, referring to slide number six very quickly, as part of strategy, there is no change from the past. We continue our virtuous path towards decarbonization with a 2030 roadmap and a 2050 ambition. We want to strengthen our wax cement global leadership, focusing on high-value-added solutions, and we keep on leveraging on the vertically integrated platforms we have in the Nordic, in Belgium, and in Turkey. We also want to keep improving profitability and operating efficiency. Just a few highlights on these slides. 97 million euro of cumulative green capex over the year of the 22-24 industrial plan period. This is around 7% of sales. We want to deliver on the science-based target initiative carbon reduction targets, and clearly we plan to roll out our future SEMA technology across the product range, pushing towards circularity. We also want to keep increasing our competitive position. We want to decarbonize our drive across the value chain, and point to lean manufacturing, logistics, and smart maintenance as the three focus areas. As far as growth, we want to optimize our industrial footprint, further develop our trading business, and keep being opportunistic on M&A transactions. Moving on to the next page, just on page seven, just a quick highlight about our journey on sustainability. We started with a new organization in 2019. We got the first recognition in 2020 with a B rating from CDP and a further upgrade to A- in 2021. We also got our site-based target initiative validated with a 25% GHG reduction, and we have a number of rating agencies following us on a regular basis. Moving on now to page 8, the path to which net zero emissions remains unchanged with a net zero ambition by 2050 as far as scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions. We want to roll out future SEM across every geography. We want to try to become 100% fossil fuel free as far as energy is concerned. We are exploring other technologies like carbon capture and storage if economically viable. We have a clear roadmap to 2030 with a commitment of a 30% reduction in our GHG scope 1 emissions per ton of cementitious material compared to the 1990 baseline. In gray cement, the target is to reduce our CO2 per ton emissions by 31% to less than 500 kilograms per ton. In white cement, the reduction is 35% to less than 800 kilograms of CO2 per ton of cement equivalent. In the industrial plan that we're just going to get through, we have set GHG emission targets on a yearly basis by plans, and we have embedded into the organization incentive plans with ESG targets. Moving on to page 9, you can see here the reduction targets that I discussed before. On the upper table, gray cement. On the lower table, white cement, 31 and 35% reduction respectively. You can see here that one of the drivers is going to be a clinker ratio reduction of 190 basis points in gray cement and around 40 basis points in white cement. Moving on to page number 10, you can see that there are main areas of decarbonization drive across the value chain, starting from the left on raw materials. So we're clearly using a number of cementitious materials that we blend into cement. We want to stress on circularity using materials and waste recycling. In energy, we're switching to natural gas on a number of plants, and by 2025, this is going to happen in Aalborg and in Gorenje. We are pushing alternative fuels, district heating, and green power. As far as the process is concerned, we are upgrading our plants, pushing for a clinker ratio reduction, overhauling our kiln heat consumption levels, and pushing on waste heat recovery as well. We're also trying to improve our logistics with e-procurement, green transportation, and smart logistics initiatives. Overall, future term rollout across all geography remains a key theme, as well as the development of new technologies. Moving to page 11 and 12, just a couple of slides on future SEM. As you can see, this is a proprietary technology that allows a 30% reduction in CO2 emissions. And the objective is to future SEM to account for 51% of European volumes by 2030. As you can see on page 12, you have the rollout plan where you can see that 51% of total volume sold in Europe and 60% of gray cement volumes will be sold through future SEM technology. Moving on to page 13, our 2024 financial targets. You see on the left-hand column the 2021 preliminary figures and 2024 targets. You can see that we aim at the 1.65 billion euro revenue target. This is a 7% compound growth rate from 2021. You can see also that we expect single-digit volume growth across all product lines with the price increases across all markets. Our recurring EBITDA target is around 350 million euro, which is a 5% EBITDA compound growth. As far as CO2 shortage, we expect to have around 500,000 average yearly shortage with an index mechanism covering excess CO2 costs. As far as yearly CapEx, you can see that the average CapEx is around 104 million euro, of which 4 to 5% is ordinary CapEx, and around 7% is green CapEx, which is account for around 97 million cumulative investment for us, and includes future term, district heating, waste recovery, and a number of other initiatives. As far as net debt and net cash, from a minus 40 million of 2021, we expect to end in 2024 with an excess of 300 million net cash position, which means a 340 million euro cumulative free cash flow generation over the period, assuming a dividend payout ratio between 20 to 25%, therefore a growing dividend over the three-year plan. A couple of slides just to summarize the results. So page 14, you see the comparison between the new plan and the old plan. You can see that clearly the EBITDA growth rate is impacted by a higher 2021 base, a sustained green investment level, with the SAM initiative being just postponed by a few months, a continued significant cash generation, and dependable EBITDA growth trajectory for the group. Page 15, and you have the detail about our CapEx. You can see here in green on the histogram on the right, the sustainability spending, digitalization is in light blue, and then in gray you have the maintenance and expansion CapEx. I think we've touched upon those areas already. So I'll finish off my presentation with the last slide. This is page 16. You have here the waterfall, where you can see, visualize the cash generation that continues to be extremely strong for the group, shifting from a minus 40 to over 300 million euro of net cash by 2024. And you can see the cash flow generation of 876 million, over 100 million euro of dividends paid in the period, a capex of around 312 million, and the rest being working capital and other. This ends my presentation. I'll leave the floor to Mr. Francesco Caltagirone for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who has a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Emanuele Gallazzi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking my question. I have three questions. The first one is on the cost inflation, and in particular on fuel and energy cost. Can you just better clarify the double-digit growth assumed in the 2022 guidance? And also in terms of cement pricing, can you discuss about your assumption in the business plan? My second question is on the CO2 cost. Can you help us understanding how the indexed mechanism between cement price and CO2 cost actually works? And my final question is on the capital allocation. Basically, you are guiding for over 300 million euros of net cash position in 2024. You raise the dividend policy, but what we should expect on potential M&A or greenfield initiatives? Thank you.
Cost inflation, good afternoon. We have seen an increase of, let me say, nearly 50% of electricity.
Yes, I can take this question. On the cost inflation side, I mean, the question is regarding what is embedded in our expectations. I mean, clearly
correct.
We have seen a significant cost inflation over the course of Q3, Q4 of last year, which is continuing. So we have embedded in our cost inflation a significant cost inflation in our figures, so especially for energy and electricity. So thermal energy and electricity are growing in our plan at high single digit to double digit level. Clearly this though is compensated by an increase in pricing, which as you know is negotiated in our main geography over the course of the second half of each year, and which would allow us to recover with some time lag, but you can see from the numbers that we expect fully recover the cost inflation in energy and in thermal energy and electricity. So this is the picture that we have in our plan. So as far as the guidance for this year, for 2022, I mean obviously the range that we have given takes into account these mechanics within our P&L.
Let's say that we have hiked the price in all of our geography, depending on the type of cement, let's say from 12 to up to 20%. Then you have to take in account that in some geography you have some headwinds related to the devaluation of the currency, but let's say that we see anyway an increase of at least 10% of our revenues that should, let me say, cover the price increase in energy and also the CO2 cost that we have already put at 80 euros, and it is transparent to our final clients the cost. So every month we pick the official closing and we will add this cost as, let me say, a sort of environmental cost. So if the price increase of the CO2 will increase, if the gas decrease, it will decrease. So it's a sort of variable cost like VAT. So something that we charge and then we will then give back to the government. So it's something that also will increase partly the revenues without adding any EBITDA, because this is, I mean, the reality. So this is also the mismatch of the small decline in profitability is not because I think we will be more or less profitable, it's because we have a tax that we charge and then we have to revert to the government. So this is the main about I don't remember the last question. As I already said, yeah. Today is difficult to understand over 10, 20 years. So this is the minimum time frame when you invest in a new asset in cement. As you know, the ATS system has to cut as an average 3% per year to reach for in the next 10 years 30% of reduction. Then there will be the border tax adjustment probably that will kick in 2026. So also the other market will be affected, especially for imports. So today, that where we are, let me say, at the first year and the first months where this is applied, it is difficult. And so we are looking at some, let me say, opportunity, but the issue is the value that you can give and also the expectation of some of the sellers, because for sure you have some risk. You know that a few months ago the CO2 was at 60 euro, today it was close to 100. We don't know what will happen in the next 6 to, let me say, month or couple years. So if you apply a certain price instead of another price, you can end up with a completely different profitability. And also the other big question mark is the availability of technology to cut the emission, especially in the second part of this decade, because if there will be some technology available, you can mitigate the, let me say, this extra cost. But if any of these pilot projects will not be winning projects, we will just continue to be forced to, let me say, cut emission, probably cutting the production or buying the CO2 for the extra quantity that the market requires. And so we can also, which will be the price of the CO2, because this today we have to sell one extra ton of cement besides our allowance, we should add 100 euro of CO2. So I don't think that the market today is ready to pay the cement more than 200 euro in euro. But, you know, we are in an environment of skyrocketing price for everything that probably in a few years we might see the cement around 200 euro. So for this reason, frankly speaking, I don't see, and I continue to don't see, I see risk to evaluate properly the assets. So let's say that we are not, let me say, close to any kind of a deal. We are just, let me say, see and also understanding the development of some assets in some key areas that are the areas where we are already present, that mainly are Northern Europe, Eastern Asia for white cement, and the United States, you know, at least too inflated, let me say, the cost of the assets. So for the time being, and also the dollar is too strong.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Matteo Bonizzoni with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I have a few clarifications to ask on the CO2 cost. Precisely, I would like to know, in 2021, what was the shortage, so the delta between your emission and your free allocation in Belgium and Denmark, and if this shortage in million ton was still entirely covered by the stock of rice which accumulated in the past or not. This is something which you have never, I think, clarified. And I want to know if for 2022 the yearly shortage will be already in line more or less with this 0.5 million ton or different from that. Basically, what I'm trying to understand is the delta CO2 cost between 2022 and 2021. Also, if you can clarify the role of Turkey, if you are helped, if you are being, because this 0.5 million yearly emission is quite ambitious compared to this. Track record is true that you have future same ramp up and so on, but based on official data of the European Union, I mean, this is very ambitious, no, in the next 3 years. So what I'm trying to understand, if you have help, for example, from the import of clinker from Turkey, and what is the magnitude, because all these data are helpful for us to understand the full picture apart from the state target. Then I would like to know on pricing, if these 12 to 20% price increases, which you, these are unprecedented price increases for cement. Now you will agree, but also the cost increases on the other side, which we are experiencing on fuel, energy, and even more CO2 are unprecedented. So this is a new situation, if you want, for the cement sector market. I would like to know if these 20% price increases, you think are in line with the price increases of your peers in different geographies? And now that we are in February, if you have any evidence if they pass or not pass, what is your feeling about the probability that they will pass at nominal value or with some discount? And last question is Turkey, because there cannot be a conference call on cement here without question on Turkey. But now is even more, let's say, important to ask, because Turkey was strong in 2021. The margin, I think also in Q4, we have not disclosed, but was probably solid in local currency. there is now a sort of inflation rate which is exceeding 40%. So my question is just to understand if you expect a new margin squeeze in 2022 because of the gap between cement price increases and imported cost inflation. Thanks.
Let's say that we, even if it seems ambitious, but let's say that the average of our shortage in CO2 will be around 500,000 tons per year in the next 3 years in the industrial plant. So we end up last year with a small, we were long, not short, of small quantities. For sure, we have the possibility leverage on our industrial portfolio because with clinker or cement imported from Turkey, especially the more the CO2 increases, the more convenient, even if you have freight costs, is to import where you can the cement. So for sure, it's part of our business plan for until 2025. Because without the border tax adjustment, there is a trade-off importing any raw materials from outside Europe that is not charged with the CO2. So, but I think it's reliable, and also the rollout of FutureChem is part of this, and also taking account that in white cement we have a big position in Olbol, but also we have a plant in Egypt that today is running at half capacity, and also Egypt is out of the ETS scheme. So this means also that in our 3 years plan we might switch from Olbol to Egypt depending on the cost of the CO2. Regarding the pricing, I believe, or I can say that more than 80% of the client base have already accepted the price increase, as I say, between 12 and 20%. It's unprecedented, but, you know, if you have to finish a house, to complete an infrastructure, you need cement. And also, as already said, in the past, let me say, intervention that I did, today cement like steel, glass, and other are, let me say, you have to consider more like an utility where you have capacity and the possibility to find cement in some area. You have the system that is going at full capacity, not full capacity considering the capacity of output of the plant, full capacity considering the limitation of the quota or the allowance that everyone of us has. So today we are the sector, I think, in Europe more or less at 100% of capacity linked to the ETS system. And for this reason, I think clients are accepting price hike because otherwise they will remain without cement. Because in some areas, like happened last year, where I remember I told you that in some months we had 8 hours of queue of trucks outside our Belgian plant, if the demand is 110 and the output is 100, somebody will remain without cement. And in some areas you cannot import from outside, and even if you can import, you need harbor and you need the dispatching facilities to do that. So you have to consider all this, and also passing the CO2. So for us it's a transparent, it's a tax that we revert in full to the client. So the client cannot say I don't want to accept. The client can decide to build in wood or with other materials, but let's say if tomorrow the CO2 cost will rise to €150, with an algorithm and a formula, because it's not €150 that you transfer, you know, it depends on the clinker content and other things, but let's say part of this increase will be fully charged. So we will not take any kind of risk in CO2, even if we will be short of 700,000 tons instead of 500 or 300,000 tons. The extra risk or opportunity will not end in our balance sheet, frankly speaking, because for us, in this situation, it's too risky just to be a lump sum price for a quarter or for the time that you need to complete an infrastructure. It is very difficult, for sure, for the people that are on the buying side, because an infrastructure, I can tell you something that happened a few weeks ago in Italy, where we are not anymore active, but we have other companies in the group that are active in the infrastructure. The railways asked for, let me say, a price for a part of infrastructure for a new high-speed train. They started at 220 million and they didn't receive any offer. Now they are at 330 million after 3 months and they continue not to receive any offer. So the reality is that this probably part of high-speed train today will cost between 370 400 million. And this is why, because probably today the Minister of Infrastructure said that part of the PNRR fund will finance the inflation of the cost, because this is the reality. I believe that any infrastructure from now on compared to a couple of years ago will cost from 50 to 100% more, because with the gas that costs 600% more, electricity three times more, and also the CO2, you are aware that if you add all these things, and now also we expect that probably in the second half of the year to start to see some, let me say, inflation in wages, because I believe that especially in Europe, people cannot survive with gasoline up to euros that we will approach soon, or also, let me say, any other kind of price that involves, let me say, oil like plastic, but this is cement. If you have now, we have to say that 20%, between 12 and 20% is considering the CO2 at 80, because with the CO2 at 100, the price, the final price, will be much higher. And it's crystal clear to the customer how it is functioning, because we spent the last 3 months, we and all the other players, to explain how this is functioning. So this is. Regarding Turkey, that is the last question about inflation, and also we have a situation probably where we will have the election next year. We have Erdogan with, let me say, a weird approach to the economy. Inflation, I think, is between 30 and 40%. But also, because Turkey is exporting more than, let me say, 30 million of tons of cement, in some part of the Turkey there is lack of cement. And for this reason, even if with this strong devaluation that we have seen till the end of last year, the price in euro was, let me say, satisfying. And we see the situation that is continuing. So far, we don't see any slowdown in the activity, for sure, everywhere, even in Europe, if the price of everything will continue to increase 20%, the economy will be hit for sure, or the central bank will have to increase a hike rate, not 25 basis points, but I think much higher. I believe that today, with this kind of cost, the inflation in Europe is around 8 to 10%. It's not 3, 4 or 5% what they are telling to the people. The real inflation, even because they are not considering that if you start with cement at 20%, steel at 50%, let's say everything with this magnitude, how you can keep inflation at 5% with increasing the rate just a few basis points. But this is not the, let me say, the argument of this, of our discussion. So I hope that I didn't, let me say, I forget anything.
Thank you.
The next question is from Tobias Werner with Stifel Europe. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen, and Lisa. Just to clarify, the line's not very good, so I just want to clarify a couple of points. The guidance for 2022, as you rightly say, or as we can see, is a 10% increase at the top line. Can you give us the split of, you know, the volumes you assume and prices you assume there to an extent? I mean, you talked about the significant price increases. If I was to take the average, then that would imply a decline in volumes, which I struggle to see at this point in time. That's the first question. The second question relates to the pricing situation generally, and where you think, in which regions you're better positioned than in others, i.e. to give us a sense, let's say the Nordics are better than, you know, Turkey or what have you, but just a bit of a flavor there. And then just lastly on FutureSem, the numbers are still very small, and you give us kindly a guidance on how this should develop. What's been your experience so far, and what's the price premium to existing products again, if you could remind us?
Okay, starting from the last question, I mean, last year we sold nearly 40,000 tons of FutureSem. This year we are planning to sell 300,000 tons. As I said, we have a price, a cost parity with the CO2 around 60, 65 euros. So now it's, let me say, in terms of profitability, it's more profitable to sell FutureSem than normal cement, just because you have less clinker and less CO2 side. And in terms of revenues, we are prudent now telling about 1.5, because for sure we have some the perimeter is the same. We have some quantity increase that is between 1% and 2%, but let's say that 70% of the price increase is related to cost inflation, another 25% is CO2, and the other 5% is a bit of in wages in inflation and a bit of margin. In fact, even with, let me say, considering this year, let me say, if we take the middle of the fork, that is 310, we have just an increase of industrial EBITDA of 10 million with an increase of the revenues that is around 150 million. So this is because our main target this year is to recover the food cost, is to let the customer understand how the CO2, let me say, transfer, let me say, cost to the final cost of cement. And so, let's say, we are not pushing too much in terms of profitability. But we see, anyway, a good market, especially for pricing in Northern Europe, the USA, because we are the only white producer. But more or less, except for Turkey, that is impacted by, let me say, local factor, almost everywhere, let me say, from China, Malaysia, Egypt, cost has been transferred and accepted by the customer. And so we, at the time being, we don't see any issue, even because, let's say, as I said, there is no substitute for cement. So the only issue is, like any commodity, is the price. It's skyrocketing. It can, let me say, produce a slower demand. But I don't know if, as you know, in the construction cost, the price of cement is around 3% to 4%. Even if you have 20% increase, the house the cost of building a new house increase of 1%, so I don't think this is an issue. For the infrastructure, it's a bit different, but the main infrastructure are, let me say, financed by the government. So here depends how the government will be able to finance or to reduce the scope of some of this infrastructure. But let's say that for the time being, I don't see a big issue, especially because we are coming out of this long, let me say, pandemic. So our view is mildly positive. We don't know where we will end up with the price of electricity. So this is, let me say, the main probably wild factor that we see is that is the price of the electricity, because coal or petcoke are, let me say, increasing, but not so much. Gas is skyrocketing, but so far we will start to use gas at the end of, let me say, this year, and we will fully use gas by 2025, both in Aalborg and in Belgium. So the price of this year or next year in gas will affect us very little. I don't know if I have answered to all your questions, because...
yes, thank you. One follow-up question. I mean, it was already asked about Turkey and the inflationary environment there. I mean, when you look at pricing we follow, it seems that the January prices have already reflected inflationary pressures in local currency. It seems that between December and January, prices are up in local currency by more than 20%. Versus the end of last year. Is this something, does this make sense? Is this something you're seeing as well?
Even more. But, you know, the issue for Turkey is that you have, an export price that is varying from, I don't know, $30 to $35. And so if you export 30 million of cement, The issue for the internal price is that if it is lower, people tend to export where they can. So the price then in local currency is more linked in terms of parity to the, let me say, price of export. So today, with the lira at 15 against euro, if you have 32 euros, the price of cement is around 500 lira. So this is, I mean, the price that we see today. But if we continue, and also, Turkey is a net importer of energy. They don't have, let me say, internal resources. So except for wages, but, you know, wages in a cement factory is between 10 and 15%. The other costs are imported costs and low in view imported area. So it's very difficult, let me say, that I see, besides the temporary shock that might arise if the lira devaluates in 1 month 20% as it happened, but then it tends to readjust in full to the, let me say, export price in dollars or euro.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora with Mediobanca. Please go ahead. Mr. Tortora, your line is open.
Yes, thanks. Hi. Good evening to everybody. I have three questions, which are basically some follow-up or some questions already made. The first one is on Denmark. For what I understood, considering also the timing of the price increase in that country, you already made and implemented the price increase, as you commented before, of the acceptance from some clients. Do you think it is possible at a certain point, how can I say, to adjust these prices considering the volatility on the cost side also in a country like Denmark? So this is the first question. The second question is on Turkey. So if I understood well, reading the press release, basically Turkey will be the only country where you see, let's say, an EBITDA basically down over the plan. And the third question is a follow-up on the shortage of CO2 allowances you mentioned before. I understood that the company is pretty confident to, let's say, pass through any additional CO2 price, increasing CO2 price, but also any potential increasing deficit on the CO2 side. The question is, can you give us an idea of, let's say, the level of clinker import or shipment from Turkey to, let's say, to Denmark? Thanks.
Yes, in Denmark, yes, the last year Denmark lagging behind, let me say, the remaining part of our opinion, because we, let me say, signed or strike the deal during November, and so once a year. This year, the market has accepted, probably not in full, because let's say we, contract nearly 85%, and then the other 15% is in spot basis. So spot basis, depending on the price of energy or other things. We have hedged most of our energy, electricity, and coal price. So even if the price will continue to soar, I don't think that we will see significant divergence in terms of cost. And so for this reason, we don't think that we need to adjust cost, except for the CO2, that is a variable input, and so it depends on the cost of the CO2 that will be charged at the end of every month. In Turkey, it's a cautious approach because of which will be the final value of the lira. Because when you have a forward on the lira with the rate of 20-25%, and so in 3 years you have a devaluation that is nearly 70-80%, it is difficult, to say. I am sure that in euro I can reach this target. Let's say we have it's a wait and see approach every quarter. We are confident because it's 20 years we have been selling and practicing in Turkey. But for the time being, we don't want to blow up numbers. We want to have, a cautious approach because we have election, because we don't know if inflation will end up at this level or much higher or lower. So the market, I think, is in good shape. They are, exporting nearly 40% of their capacity today. And I believe that till the border tax adjustment is not in place, or I don't know if Turkey will join the ETS system, they will export as much as they can, even because in Turkey today you have to pay energy in dollars. So you need to export, especially if you are not a multinational player, because otherwise you cannot pay energy. In terms of how much is the flow of cement from Turkey, let's say that from Turkey the cement can arrive both in Belgium and Denmark. I can tell you that there might be, or we have, scenario that we can go from 400 to 800,000 tons of cement. That is mainly coming from Izmir because we have a capacity, export capacity of 1 million from Izmir. But depending on the cost of CO2, the situation of the market, the cost of the freight, our scenario is between 400 and 800,000 tons of gray cement.
Okay. So, sorry, just to sum up a point also on, Denmark, which is a key market for you. The education the company made with, let's say, the major client is, first of all, let's say, to support this monthly adjustment on the CO2 price fluctuation. And on the other side, considering the price increase the company already applied, in theory, considering, let's say, the performance of Denmark last year, 2021, Denmark should let's say, should post an EBITDA growth, let's say, over the plan.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Bruno Permutti with Intesa San Paolo. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you. A few questions. The first one concerns the U.S. market and the Asian market. If you can give us an idea of what is your view for the demand growth and the price growth in these areas, which are perhaps a little bit different of what is happening in the in Europe from a certain from the point of view of the CO2 costs. And a second question regarding the shortage of resources. If you have the is there a chance that the shortage of people can change the also the demand growth scenario that you have factored in your plan? So in some way, Are you seeing that there are some delays, there are some slowdown in the project right now, or you see a quite normal advance of the infrastructure works, and the very last one. A general question. Regarding the if you see a chance that in Europe there could be a release of the a CO2 reduction scenario, I mean that a more pragmatic approach could be adopted, and if there are discussions or pressure in this this direction, considering the problems related to the implementation of the current policy.
Yes, Bruno, it's Marco here speaking. I think the first question about the U.S. And Asia. I mean, let's remind everybody that in the U.S. and in Asia, we sell white cement. Therefore, it's not a product geared to infrastructure, but it's mainly geared towards repair and maintenance and housing, this kind of market. So it may be other markets. We see, clearly the U.S., we know that there is a wall of money coming through from federal funds on infrastructure, which is not going to impact us materially. But really, the whole sector is benefiting from wave effect of that. So we expect the U.S. from around the 670,000 tons of volume sold in 2021 to increase in the low single-digit volume growth year by year, so a sound but stable growth trajectory with relatively solid pricing. I mean, you know that our market we cover around 50% of the market in the U.S. and over half of our sales are imported. The competing products tend to come from exporting countries which are currently hit by an increase in freight rates. So we expect a moderately benign environmental pricing. So this is the U.S. As far as Asia, we have Malaysia, which, as you know, is mainly an export market. We tend to sell from Malaysia clearly into the domestic market, but a large proportion of our sales go into Southeast Asia and to Australia. After a few tough years in Australia in particular, we expect a recovery of that market. So again, in Malaysia, we expect a mid-single-digit volume growth with stable pricing. And so on overall, good Southeast Asian trading environment. In China, I would say this is probably one of the best performing businesses in our portfolio. It's been doing extremely well. We expect it to continue to do well. We clearly have a bit of a cap in volume growth because we are almost at full capacity, so we try to do everything we can to optimize production in order to grow at least the volume by some percentage point, but we're close to full capacity. But the market is very buoyant. Our product is perceived, and it is, as a premium quality. We expect that there's going to be some price inflation in China. So the top line still we expect it to be in the mid-single-digit growth range. So overall, this is the picture for the countries that you asked for. Then as far as the other question, I apologize, but if you could just repeat the other one, I'm going to answer. Sorry.
Sorry, I didn't catch. Yeah.
What was the second question?
The second one was related to the eventual shortage. If you are experiencing, you see that there are some delays in infrastructure projects related to eventual shortage of people or other kind of inputs, of production inputs. And the last one was related to eventual, if you see a chance, and if there are discussion or related to a possible delay, a possible relaxing, rather than relaxing, a possible delay of the stringent CO2 reduction requirement. I mean, if we can imagine that a more pragmatic approach will be adopted, perhaps not soon, but in the medium term, considering that there are several problems and troubles related to all the factors that are impacting the economies in this moment. So is there a chance that, in your view, are there possible discussion on this, or it is not something that is on the carpet?
Let's see. We are now at the very first months of this. This is an artificial system, as you know. And the rationale is... of these steps is to foster, a spirit transaction to, other greener technology. The issue is that in some sectors these technologies are not available and won't be available for sure in the next 5 to 7 years. So for the time being, tax is just producing inflation because it's just fully reverted to the final client and adding to energy costs and all the other costs. So I believe that from the moment that is artificial, as I already told 6 months ago, that they might slow down the curve of this or widen the window, not 2030, but 35. They won't tell you tomorrow, but even this year, I believe. But if everything will cost to the double and technology is not available, you just kill the economy. No, this is, I think, is the real issue. On the other question about shortage of people or delaying in project, it is difficult to, let me say, we sell white cement except in Scandinavia, Turkey, and Belgium. White cement is not used for infrastructure, so we don't see any impact on white cement. On the other areas, we are, let me say, in an area where I think I don't see, for the time being, for the next, let me say, couple of quarters, any kind of shortage of truck drivers or other things or any postponement of any infrastructure, even because you can understand that the postponement that we suffered so far has been, let me say, produced by the COVID. So in this situation, it's difficult to say that an infrastructure can start 3 months or 6 months later, because if you have another wave of COVID in September, because I think now we are exiting, and then everything will be, let me say, slowed down again. So it's not in our scenario that this might have an impact this year or next year, but who knows, because I don't know what will be the development, especially of the COVID, and also the wage inflation that we might see after this huge increase in cost, in input costs everywhere in COVID. Because the other issue is that if we are going to see a huge wave of strike in Europe, in every sector, from transport industry, because life cost is soaring, and there is not an automatic alignment, as you know, in most of the country. So this is, I think, might be a disruptive. So this is one of the risks that we might see, especially in the second half, strikes that start to hit a lot of sectors because people want, and I think it is normal that they want to have a wage increase to adjust, let me say, the last cost. This, I mean, the main risk that I see probably in the next 6 to 24 months.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone. The next question is from Michele Baldelli with BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to everybody. I have a couple of questions. First one, because you pointed out to the fact that futures has got already a good positioning with the current cost of the CO2, making it more viable than the grey cement. I was wondering what could happen to your P&L if this penetration rate of futures will go above and beyond your expectations. If you can provide us some of the drivers, how much it could be the impact for every like 10% better penetration that you expect, something like this. The second question relates to the aggregates in Turkey. If you can provide us a little bit of more color on how it's proceeding, the business sales and EBITDA progression that you expect also in 2022 after the ramp up done. Thank you.
Yes, I think the first question. I mean, clearly, was pointed out before, future cement still represents a small portion of our total sales. We have an ambitious rollout plan. As you know, in 10 years, a bit less than 10 years, we expect it to represent around half of our sales. So if there were to be a meaningful acceleration, I would say it would not make a meaningful impact in the very short term, both because we are ramping up grinding and calcining supplies, and so it would be difficult to exceed significantly the targets, also because we are getting ready to ramp up the production, so there will be material available in the short term. But definitely, if you look at the medium to long term, if this were to exceed the targets, we would be clearly seeing a push up of our profitability, because the product is more profitable than the average of our product range. I mean, it is for sure. We have not quantified how much, because it would depend by how much we would exceed. But for sure, it would be a beneficial, so to say, product mix effect in the portfolio if futures somewhere do exceed our expectations. As far as Fesky, I think, is this the question regarding the growth trajectory of the country? Sorry, the line is not very good. Or you were asking about some other KPI?
Yeah, I was referring to the aggregate business in Turkey.
Okay, Understood. Yes, well, this is, thank you for the question, because this has been a small M&A transaction that we've done in 2021. We bought for 4 million euro a business, an aggregate business in Turkey. So we continue to pursue our strategy of vertical integration in the three hubs that we have. Turkey is one of them. The other two are Denmark and Belgium. So in Turkey, we're very strong in cement and the ready mix, especially in the Izmir area, but we were a bit short on the aggregate side. So I think this acquisition is quite important to fully vertically integrate upstream our model. And so we acquired some important long-term reserve that would secure adequate supply of aggregates for our ready-mix business and also for third-party sales. So there is an enlargement of perimeter. We've highlighted the run rate of sales is around 3.6 million tons of aggregates at full run rate of sales. So we think it's a very, I would say, profit enhancing and strategically centered acquisition in a country that we still believe is for us strategically important, and we reinforce our competitive positioning in a key sector that for the future secures an important flow of materials for our clients.
Anyway, we bought 350 million tons of capacity, of reserves, sorry, for 4 million. So today in Turkey, let me say, aggregates is still, let me say, very, let me say, is more perceived by the market. But I think to secure this huge amount of reserve that can last 200 years at this very low price, probably not tomorrow, but will enhance, let me say, the performance a lot, because you know, the cost is virtually zero and the reserves are, let me say, huge.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Hey, thank you very much for your interest in Cementi Holding, and we wish you a pleasant rest of your day and evening. Thank you.